So this is part two of how to walk in the light. We're working through the book of 1 John. It's taken us a little while because of some of life's complications this year. But this section is 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through chapter 2 verse 2. They kind of go together as a unit. Let me read this and then we'll go through it. But I am splitting it actually into three sermons because there's just so much. I've preached it all in one sermon before, but it's so easy to forget. So I really wrestled with how to present it again today. So here you have it. This is the first four verses of 1 John 1. Let me read them out just again, give us the background. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." If you notice there, the life is mentioned three times. He's talking about Jesus himself. He's calling him life. Verse 3, "Now that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So John says, we want you to have fellowship with us horizontally, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So there's two directions there. "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." So just a brief review. I summarized it a lot, but I'd like to do it just in case you haven't been here, or if you're like me, the fade factor is high. It's hard to remember things. The basis for the writing of 1 John is eyewitness experiences. John is saying, we were there, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. And we're relaying this to you, what he said, what he did. I'm reading through Acts in my Bible reading, and one of the words that comes out all the way from Acts 1 onward is that the apostles were called to be witnesses. And that is what John is doing here in writing. Right? Eyewitness experiences. The primary reason, I listed, I think, six in previous messages, but the primary reason is given in verse 4 of chapter 1. And I believe a lot of commentaries, a lot of preachers get this wrong. John comes right out and he's not saying this is how you know you are saved. A lot of people take 1 John to say that. No, he says, these things I write to you that your joy might be made full. So I summarize here by comprehending the truth from God and letting it govern our thoughts, responses, and actions, regardless of circumstances. That's the idea of joy, that God wants us to rest in what is true, that your joy may be made full and remain full, literally, to have full or complete joy that God intends for us. God intends for you and I to have joy. But joy is not just a hilarity, a laughter. It's a sense of stability based upon the truth of God's word, regardless of what circumstances you and I may be in at any given time. Two truths about God, and again, this is review. The whole front side of your notes is review. So just going through that. Verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." In order to have this joy, you have to understand God correctly. In God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. There's two truths here that we looked at a few weeks ago. Truth number one, God is light. And we looked at what the Bible said about light. Light is two things primarily. Light is truth. It's right thinking. It has to do with information that is accurate. So light is truth and light is holiness. It's right living, morality, purity. Okay, so light reveals things. It reveals what is true and false, what is right and wrong. God is light. And then it goes on to say truth number two. In Him, in God, is no darkness at all. And the way it's stated, not even a tiny little bit, not even one hint of that. God knows and understands everything perfectly. He won't wake up tomorrow. He doesn't sleep, by the way, but he won't wake up tomorrow and say, oh no, I forgot something. I didn't know that. He'll never say that. He knows everything perfectly. In fact, I cannot comprehend this, but he understands exactly what will happen in the future. He controls what happens. He's that powerful. But God is also absolutely holy. God has no sin. He's not going to sweep it under the table. He's not going to say, that's okay, Kevin, because I feel sorry for you. Look at you, Kevin. You're a pretty sorry fella. I just feel sorry for you. I'll just let it go. No, God has to punish sin. God has to deal with sin in each and every one of our lives. He cannot tolerate sin. He is completely holy. He always does what is morally pure and morally right. So I have a summary statement here, and this is in your notes as well. But God, as light, knows everything fully and completely, and He is absolutely holy in all His being and completely rejects all that is sinful. God is not okay with sinfulness. He is holy, right, and good. So then John introduces the idea of walking. How do you walk with a God that is perfectly holy and knows everything? Well, that's actually a benefit, not a curse. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. So he starts telling us how to walk in the light. The first step is it's not based on what I say or intend. We have to understand that what we intend to do or what we say we are doing is not a good indicator of that. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship. Now, fellowship is a term that I grew up with. Usually fellowship had something to do with food, right? You know, that I don't know why. I always said the F in Baptist stands for food. Like I said, there's no F in Baptist. Okay. But we always tie it into food, but it isn't necessarily that. Now, it works that way because when you have fellowship, a fellowship meal, you're having food that is in common. That's what the word fellowship means. You're having a in common meal. Having a meal together, right? You're not each bringing your own food and staring at somebody else eating their food, wishing you had brought that peanut butter and jelly sandwich rather than your whatever, right? You put it all out on the table and you share. Well, fellowship is having things in common. It's having times in common in teaching and in interacting together. It's having an in common direction, an in common purpose. And we have fellowship with God in that way. We interact with God. We have common relationship together. So if we say that we have fellowship with Him, now we're walking with God. And instead we walk in darkness. We're walking in ignorance and immorality. That's darkness. Ignorance and immorality. I don't care what God says, and I want to do what's bad, right? Ignorance and immorality. We lie and do not practice the truth. It's not what we think we're doing. It's not what we say we're doing. It's actually what we're doing that matters. And I'm going to review that in a different way next week as we get into chapter 2. But talking fellowship And a lot of people think because they attend church, they're fellowshipping with God. And it's like, actually, no. That might be definitely a part of it, but by itself, that is not an indicator. It's not what we say we're doing. It says, if we are talking fellowship, I fellowship with God, but we are walking in ignorance, not knowing what is true, and unholiness, or we could say immorality, not wanting what is pure. If we're doing that, that's to be living a lie. It's actually not true at all. A building doesn't make us fellowship with God. Weekly attendance. Now, I'm one that encourages you, as I do, to be faithful to the gathering of believers every time there's a gathering. I encourage you to do that. But that itself is not enough, okay? It's not words or intentions. It goes on to say, if we're talking fellowship and walking in ignorance and immorality, if I can use those two words, we do not speak the truth. We are lying. It's present tense. We're actually lying to ourselves. And we're not practicing the truth. And I put down here, note, walking in the light then results in doing the truth. The result of walking in the light, God's light, because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, results in a change of behavior, a change of direction, a change in the way we decide what we do. Right? It's not, again, a lot of us grew up thinking that, oh, I'm saved and it's over. And no, that's a birth. It's the beginning. God wants to change us, to grow us up, to be completely different than if we were on our own and not saved after all. It's a complete change of how you think, how you talk, and how you walk. Okay? Our words are validated or proven false by what directs our ongoing walk. Okay? It's not what we say. It's not where a membership is, though membership is important. Right, being attached to a local body, I would define it that way. But it's what we do throughout the week that defines if we're really walking with God, right? If we're really having fellowship with God and with one another. Number two here now, and again, review. We looked at this last week. How do I walk in the light? Well, it's not by what I say or intend to do, but never get around to doing it. It's I'm to walk by means of God's light. Verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light, by the way, that's a present tense. If we are walking by means of the light, we're letting what God has said define how we decide, what we say, where we go, what we do. Walking by the light, if you will. We are having fellowship with one another. That's what determines it. It's not our affiliation alone. It's not our Sunday morning activity alone. It's whether or not we're in the Word of God and being governed by the Word of God that defines true fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's the requirement: letting God's light guide my ongoing moment by moment walk by showing us what is true and holy and walking accordingly. Right? If I don't care what the Word of God says, I'm not going to be able to walk in the light because this is telling me what's true and false, what is right and wrong. Here's the benefits here. The requirements, letting God's light guide me. Okay? The benefits, there's ongoing fellowship with one another. That's really where Christian fellowship really engages. as when we are seeking to walk by the light of God's word. It's an ongoing lifestyle, not a calendar event, right? I'm saying I am very much for gathering. And in fact, the church, the word church means assembly, right? That idea. So a church can't be a church without assembling. You are not being what God wants without assembling, right? That all goes together. But fellowship, true fellowship, happens when we are in the Word of God and walking by means of the Word of God. All right? We have fellowship with one another. And notice this too. A second benefit, he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Ongoing cleansing from sin. And I put down there's no article, it's singular. I'll explain more of that in a minute. But the light counters our sinfulness. Now listen, the Bible doesn't say when we're saved that we stop having sinful urges. We have a sin nature. There's part of us that has been born again, if you will, the new man, but guess who still lives within us? The old man. The Bible calls it the old man and the new man. So before you had just the old man. Well, now you have a new man. And the Bible even says, we'll get into this in chapter 3. But the new man cannot sin. But the old man loves to sin. And as David would say, have you noticed? Right? Have you noticed that there's that bent, there's that leaning? I mean, sin to us, as in the new man, is repulsive. It's like a rotting corpse or a rotting piece of meat. Okay? But the old man sees sin like it sees chocolate cake. Right? It's two different ways to look at it. And what the light does, it says here, if we walk by means of the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We're interacting with God. We're not perfect. We're not sinless. But God is helping us walk. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It allows us to see what's ahead and avoid sin. This sin, this lack of, there's no article there. It's not the sin. It's just sin. It's our sinfulness. How does God counter our sinfulness? How does he do it? Well, he tells us how to live, and we look ahead and say, it tells us, I quoted it last week, Psalm 1:1, for example, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You avoid wrong input, nor stands in the way of sinners. You don't go places that will lead you astray or tempt you, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You don't participate in it. Instead, it's not just what you don't do, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And it's not talking about a preacher. It's just a spiritual person. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates 1 hour every Sunday morning. Now, you know the passage, day and night. It is to govern. Right? Joshua says something similar in Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it once a week, whether you need it or not. No, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's not 1,189 chapters so that we have more to ignore. There's 1,189 chapters so that we can know the mind of God and the heart of God and the commands of God to do what he wants us to do. But it helps us. We understand how sin works. Sin is it tempts us. So we avoid those things. So we bypass we disable our sinful nature because we're not going places. I don't live around chocolate cake. Does that make sense? I'm using chocolate cake. I hope no one's hungry right now. But I'm saying I'm not engulfed, surrounding myself in sinful things and then wondering why I sin. God tells us no. Meditate in it day and night. I spend time in the Word of God. And that should be my focus and my immersion. You can't be good at something without immersing yourself in it. Randy's an electrician. I'm sure you learned that in 3 minutes or less. I know a young man who's in a plumbing apprentice. Does that sound right, the word? 5 years. 5 years. It takes time to be holy, right? It takes time. And if we think we're going to become solid, fellowshipping with God type of Christians by just a snippet on Sunday, if we ate like we exposed ourselves to the Bible, would we live a week? Right? You know what I'm saying? We need that. We need that ongoing exposure. And you'll see that in 1 John. Oh, it's an overtime thing that you get to know God. And you learn to overcome the wicked one. It's a constant maturity and focus. Not a boom, I got it. No, I listened to a sermon for 5 minutes and I think I'm good. I think I got it down. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a process of our lives. And that's the direction God wants us to go. Walking in the light involves acknowledging our ongoing sinfulness. That's interesting. But walking with a sinless God that knows everything and is against anything that is unholy, but is positively holy as well. How do you do that? Well, you're in the Word of God and it helps you. You're acknowledging the fact that, Lord, I have that old man. I have that sinful bent. And I want that chocolate cake. What appears to be chocolate cake, but is actually poison. Right? Sin is always breaks things. But God wants us, it helps us to go in the right direction and avoid the wrong direction, wrong paths, wrong exposures. It bypasses the places where we sin. It helps us to overcome our sinful nature by not going down those sinful paths. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we walk in the light, oh, look, down the path. I need to avoid that before I get there. That's how walking in the light does that. I'm aware of, oh, sinful situations or sinful tendencies on my own part or whatever, and it helps me to avoid those before they become a problem. It's acknowledging my sinfulness. I need to walk with God so that I am aware of the things that will pull me away from God. Light reveals what is true and false, what is right and wrong, and it helps me to think things through and make good choices. That's the first part of it. Now, I said all that. There's dangers, by the way. If we say that this is a literal translation, if we say that sin not we are having, if we do not have sinfulness, that old man, ourselves we are deceiving and the truth is not in us. We must acknowledge our sinful bent. We need to walk with God. Otherwise, we walk in sin. That's just automatic. We must acknowledge our sinful bent. Without agreeing with this, we will not be dependent upon God's help to overcome it. Does that make sense? It's like saying, I don't need a GPS. Now, some of you probably don't. GPS is not my friend anyway, because it usually sends me in the wrong direction anyway. But I don't need a GPS. I can do it on my own. And God says, no, you absolutely, your GPS is broken. Your GPS always leads you into sin. You need God's GPS. You need God's light to lead you into righteousness, lead you into holiness, lead you into truth. So the danger is deceiving ourselves, and the truth isn't really in us. We think we're doing right, but we're really not. Lying to, it goes on, I list them here, but this deceit, we're lying to others, False words indicating a failure to recognize the facts or lying to ourselves. Ongoing self-deception and rejection of the truth. Ongoing rejection of the truth and the benefits of it. Who wants to walk in a lie? Who wants to walk in things that aren't not true? And yet that is absolutely what we're doing if we're not availing ourselves to the light and living by the light. We're like, Kevin, you got this. Your GPS is good. And it's like, no, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You need God's word. You need to infuse yourself with God's word. You need to immerse yourself in God's word. You need to meditate on God's word. And then let that be your light. Your decision making, your direction, your doing. Okay. Number three here, and this is today, right? All of that is reviewed. So I just have one main point here today, so that's good. But you have to understand how it flows. Number three here, I am to say the same thing about my sins as God does. Walking in the light involves two things. Walking by means of God's light and responding accordingly, what God shows. And then say, I am to say the same thing about my sins as God does. That's the second part of it here. Now, this is very familiar. It's probably a worn out passage, but it's not quoted in context. Now, it means what you think it means, kind of, but you have to understand the context. This is verse 9 and verse 10 in 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, notice now it's sins rather than sin. It's plural, not singular, and it has an article. It's literally the sins of us. It's not what it's talking about in verse 7, which is our sin. If we say we have no sinfulness, if I could use that word. Here it sins. These are actions of sinfulness, sinful actions. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our what? Sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Who's him? God. We make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, this is hard, but true. But one of the ways we walk with God is to acknowledge our sinfulness, our sinful bent, our old man, right? I need to walk with God because my old man will always lead me astray. My GPS always goes in the wrong direction. It goes in the sin direction. So I need God's word to light my way, to show me what's right and wrong, true and false. But also what the light of God's word does is shows me something I've done wrong. Sin is sinful, what he's talking about here, sinful actions. Things that you shouldn't do but you do, and things that I shouldn't do that I do, or things that I should do but I don't do, right? You know, sins of omission as well as commission, right? So, we're talking about sinful actions here. And you know what walking in the light does? It's not, this is not a verse that's is meant to, and I think I shared something like this last week. It's not a verse that's meant to say, oh, I sinned again, bummer. Confess it, I sinned again, bummer. It's not like that. You're walking in the light to overcome your sinfulness. But while walking in the light, what else happens? God points out sinful actions, things that we actually do that we shouldn't do, or things that we don't do that we should, sins. And part of walking in the light, listen to this, is saying what God says about my sins. God shines a light on Kevin's action and says, that's wrong. That violates God's commands or character, what God has revealed. And that is walking in light. It's letting God show me that I've done something wrong And what is my response? If I'm walking in the light, the fact that I sin by itself does not violate it. It actually is meant to, the light is meant to reveal it so that I respond to that sin and say, God, what just happened is sin. By the way, that's what confess means. It's to say the same thing about. So while we're walking in the light, we acknowledge that we are sinful. We have a sinful bent, and the light helps us. We're walking by means of the light, so we avoid places, persons, pastimes, whatever the case might be, and we go in the right paths and directions to help us accomplish what God wants us to do. But at times there will be sin, and God, because we're avoiding sin, we're growing up and we're overcoming the wicked one over a process of time. But he also shows his sins. And as we, God points out the sins, our right response as we're walking in the light is to call sin, sin, as God does. That's what it's about. That's how we walk with God as sinful people. We're saying, God, that is sin. I am saying to say the same thing about my sins as God does. Notice, if we confess, that is saying the same thing. The word confess is homologeo. Okay? Homogenized milk. You stir it up together so it's all the same. That's that homo part. Homosexual is marrying someone or, you know, being attracted to someone of the same gender. It's the same word there. But logeo is to say, to speak. It's to say the same thing. If we are confessing, what is confessing? It's God says it's sin, so I say it's sin too. That's what confessing is. I'm saying it's sin because God says it's sin. If we are confessing our sins in its present tense, David mentioned that we sin every day. Now, I don't know if he's been spying on me. I know he hasn't been spying on me. But we sin. As we're walking with God and we sin, what are we supposed to do? We are to say the same thing about it. Okay? It's an ongoing activity. Sin is not failure if we're recognizing it and calling it what it is. That's how God helps to purify us. It's training us that this is wrong. If we are confessing, if we're saying the same thing about our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's keep working through here because I have notes here. But there's two parts. Ongoing responsiveness to God's light is verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin or sinfulness. And ongoing confessing of what God's light reveals. We call sin what God calls it. And of what God's light reveals, addresses our sinful actions, right? The actual committing of sin. We're saying, God, that's sin. I have sinned before you. That is wrong. I'm saying the same thing about it. That's what God wants you to do with the light. He wants you to use the light to identify sin in your life and respond accordingly. The Bible says in John chapter 3, and we looked at this several weeks ago now, but Jesus said, people stay away from the light because their sins are evil. Their deeds are evil. John 3:19, which is three verses after the very famous John 3:16. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They don't want the word of God in their life. I don't care what God says. I don't want what God says. Because my deeds are evil, the Bible says. The opposite is to walk by means of the light, to let God shed light on reality, the sinful poles and all of that. But also then, when God points out this is wrong, confess it. Say the same thing about it as God says. That helps us to eventually overcome those sins. So that's the requirement. And I have a chart. It's not very big, I understand, and I'll show it again next week. Maybe I'll make it bigger next week. But notice here, verses 6 through 8 are on the left side of your chart. And notice I've bolded it. It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 7 says, if we say we have no sin, right? Notice here there's no confession going on in verses 6 through 8, and there's no forgiveness, just cleansing. It's avoiding sin, right? It's acknowledging our sinful bent and letting God direct us in a right way away from sin. But notice chapter 1, verse 9 through chapter 2, verse 2, which we're not going to look at chapter 2 at all today, just verses 9 and 10. But it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we say that we have that sin, which is an action there, so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Notice there's two different things, the sinfulness and then the sinful actions. Just showing that, I'll point that out more. But verses 6 through 8 are talking about something slightly different, our sinful bent rather than our sinful actions, which are addressed in verses 9 and following. What are the benefits of confessing our sins? Forgiveness of the confessed sins, what is known, right? If we confess those sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Those are things that we know that we've done wrong, that we should have done, that didn't, or did and we shouldn't have. Sin. We've transgressed. Okay? That's benefit number one. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But then he goes on to say this. The same word cleanse is found in verse 7. Cleanse us from all... what does it say in verse 7? Cleanse us from all sin, right? Sinfulness. Here it says He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. These are unrighteous deeds that we don't know about. I call that the unknown. The cleansing of each unrighteousness, the unknown. Do you know that there's things that you do wrong that you don't even know that you did wrong? God takes care of that. He wants us to respond to what we do know. And He takes care of what we don't. That sounds pretty good to me. Right? That's exactly. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to rightly respond to what we know. And He'll take care of what we don't know as we walk with Him. What are the dangers of not confessing our sins as part of walking in the light? Right? This is not meant to be a blank check that I live the way I want, and if I sin, I just confess it. No, we're to be walking in the light, verse 7. And this correlates with that. Verse 9 cannot be taken apart from verse 7. I'm to be walking in the light and then confessing my sins. Those go together. And I think we probably have always just used verse 9 all by itself without regard to the rest of the context, right? But what does he say here? What's the danger of not doing so? Dangers of not confessing. Listen to this. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Similar idea here. If we do not confess, if we say that we have not sinned, what's the opposite of confession? Ignoring our sin. We're saying we have not sinned. We're going to ignore it. The light says, I have sinned. Kevin has sinned by this way or that way. The confession is, God, you say it's sin. It's sin. It's wrong. And God says, I'll forgive that and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If I do not identify that sin as sin, and I'm like, God, never mind. I'm walking on. I'm not even going to address it. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to continue in it, whatever the case might be. This time, we're doing something even different. We're saying, what does it say here? If we say that we have not sinned by ignoring what the light has revealed to be true, that this is indeed sin, we make God a liar. Because what's the choice? God says it's sin, and I say it's not. So one of us is wrong, and we're saying we're not wrong, so God must be the liar. By ignoring sin as God has revealed it, we are calling God a liar. It's a big deal. It's not a little deal. It's a big deal. By ignoring sin, we're saying, God, you're lying. It's really not sin. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? And his truth, his word, rather, is not in us. Well, obviously, right? We're not being governed by what the Bible actually says. And by the way, it's tied into it. 1 John 1:9 is tied to being in the Word of God. You cannot confess sin if you don't know if it is sin. Right? You have to be in the Word. His Word is not in us. And if we are ignoring the Word of God, we're kind of saying, God, everything in there is kind of a lie because I obviously don't need it to live, right? His Word is not in us. It's making God a liar and is rejecting God's Word. Light comes from the Word, not our feelings, not our circumstances. So we are to respond to God, and those go together. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sinfulness. It helps us to avoid sin by walking by means of the light, letting the Word of God direct my way, make my decisions, my thinking processes and all of that, my choices in life. But also the light reveals my sins, which will be there. So what's my response? I either ignore them and call God a liar, or I respond to them and say, God, what you say is true. This is wrong. This is sin. And God says He will forgive us and cleanse us from all the things we don't know. Right? The Christian life is more than a Sunday morning. It's a 24/7 walk with God in His light. It's to change the entire way we see life and respond to life. And as God reveals light to us in His Word, we're able to avoid sin and also acknowledge our sins. And that's how we walk with a holy God. I have four verses in your notes, but I have them up here too. 2 Corinthians 7:1, these all relate to the same idea. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, God wants to perfect holiness in you in this life. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify or make holy and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. Right? That's in the husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands passage. But they all relate to Christ and the church. And this is the part about the husband and the wife, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. God wants to sanctify and cleanse us as the church. Titus 2:14, Jesus, who gave Himself for us, why? That He might redeem us from every lawless what? Deed. When do you think that happens? Notice, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealots of good works. This is not a verse that's talking about when we all get to heaven. It's a verse that's talking about what God wants to do with us on earth. Redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. When do those happen? Now. And then James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God expects us to walk in His light responsively and respond properly to what His light reveals, both in the directions we go, the places we go, the people we hang around, our activities, pastimes, but also then respond properly when he reveals sin in our lives, sins in our lives. We confess those. We say the same thing about those, and God forgives us those sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Takeaways, two of them are from last week. We must expose ourselves to God's light and respond accordingly. We must acknowledge our sinfulness. Without affirming this, we will not be dependent upon God's help to overcome it. And we must confess our sinful actions as the light exposes them. That's what it means to be walking in the light. That's how God expects us as children of light to walk. Are you walking as children of light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truths today. Lord, it's not that complicated. It just seems that directly related to our exposure, ongoing exposure and meditation in the Word of God and then responding accordingly. Whether it's our decisions and directions or in response to the sins that you reveal that we are committing. Lord, we are so thankful that you have given Jesus to be our sin bearer. Now you want to walk with us. And you want us to walk with you. And we do so by knowing what your word says and then saying the same thing that your word says, agreeing with it. And Lord, you forgive us and you cleanse us. And Lord, I pray that we would be people that fellowship with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.